The sign says, Shortcut to Heaven. This is Dr. Herbert L. Varley, Dean of the University of Healing, here in Campbell, California, with The Sign Says, The Shortcut to Heaven. Now, what is a shortcut to heaven? Have you ever taken a shortcut to heaven? Have you ever taken a shortcut to the divine within you, to your reality, to who you are? Have you ever done that? And, of course, you haven't, because no one ever does. The thing is, when you really get going, when you really get going on walking your spiritual path, you do many things and you don't know you're doing it. This is the wonderment of walking the spiritual path. We have two signs here, Shortcut to Heaven, on the property of the University of Healing here, the monastery. And one sign says Shortcut to Heaven, and it's that way. The other sign says Shortcut to Heaven, and it's that way. And one is at the top of the stairs, and one is at the bottom of the stairs. And Stephen Stressley and Herbert Marty created those two signs, those two locations, because they each thought the other's place was heaven, which is very lovely. But was it really a shortcut to heaven? Or is there a shortcut to heaven? Is there some way that we can find down? Is there some way we can find our perfection and our royalty and our whoever we really are? People think the shortcut to heaven is when you are praying, or when you are meditating, or when you are thinking good thoughts, or when you are being a divine creature and you are saying beautiful things about your world and you are seeing beautiful things in your world. But that's not true. First of all, let's define where heaven is. Heaven is a state of consciousness. Heaven is a state of consciousness. Now, if we all confirm that heaven is a state of consciousness, then it's not a place. And since it's not a place, then where is that? Well, where is heaven being a state of consciousness? Well, you say it's in our consciousness. Well, okay. Now, how do you get there? How do you experience your state of consciousness? You say, well, I'm in a very good state of consciousness. I just feel so mellow and so beautiful. Or I'm in a miserable state of consciousness. I could chew nails, you know. And both are very adequate and proper definitions for our attitudes of our state of consciousness. Now, what is your state of consciousness? Is your state of consciousness being yourself and having fun? We talk a lot about that. Is your state of consciousness being yourself and having fun? Or is your state of consciousness being concerned about what's going on in the world? Now, let's just look at that. If I am being myself and having fun, I am not concerned about what's going on in the world. I'm not concerned in anything at all. I'm only concerned in what I want to be interested in. That's all. And this is what the real state of consciousness is. Now, how do we get there? How do we get to the real state of consciousness? Now, we've read stories about Hindus and gurus, and we've read stories about spiritual people and about priests and rabbis and all cultural groups of the leaders of their spiritual life. And what is the common complaint of all of them? The common complaint of all of them is, Lord, help my unbelief. Now, that's a poor reference for what's going on in the world. It's a very poor reference for what's going on in the world. Now, right at the moment, I told Rex to stay close to me here and to lay down and to be still. But Rex chooses to roll over and over and get closer and closer to somebody else because he doesn't want to mind. He doesn't want to pay attention. Now, I can let him roll and I can let him play, but the thing is, if I do, then I'm not master of myself. Because I say to him, I say, Rex, you come over here. That's a good boy. You come over here. Yeah. Don't get all wound up over there. That's a good boy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, stay right here, and I'll hold your paw. So, when I'm in charge of all circumstances in my life, then my life is a pleasant place. Now, why am I making this fuss about Rex? Well, Rex comes in here, and he's a very lovable dog, and he wants to go around and say hello to everybody. Well, before we eat, that's just fine. After we eat, that's just fine. But while we're eating, and while I'm giving my talk, he lays quietly at my side. He respects the fact that I'm giving a talk and that I want my attention on the talk. But if he's going to go wandering around, then he's not respecting that attention. He cannot respect that attention until I tell him that I expect that of him. And once I tell him that I expect it of him and train him in the fact to do it, he'll do it. Now, he's not hurting. He's not being put under any pressure just to remain in one area. And how about you? What sort of distractions do you allow when you're going on your pathway to heaven? Do you allow these distractions of the newspaper, the television, the radio? Do you allow the distractions of people talking? Do you allow the distractions of airplanes? Do you allow the distraction of anything? Now, today we had an incident that took place over in Campbell, and it brought out airplanes and all sorts of things. And we were constantly saying, all is in divine order. But yet we let our attention go to these bomber airplanes that were flying overhead. We let our attention go to the activities that are going on. We let our awareness go to that, and we empowered it. Now, you can be sure you're going to have some of those experiences in your life. Everything you empower, you have in your life. Now, do you want that kind of an experience in your life? If you don't want that kind of experience, keep your nose clean. Don't pay attention to airplanes flying overhead that have no consequence for you. Don't pay attention to cars going by that have sirens going or whatever. That has no consequence to you. All is in divine order. Now, when we want to enter into the kingdom of heaven or go into the state of consciousness of heaven, can we go into the state of consciousness of heaven, the heavenly consciousness, which we call beautiful and good and everything, if we're going to allow ourselves to be distracted by the illusions of the world? A car is here today and gone tomorrow. Motorcycle's here today and gone tomorrow. You're here today and gone tomorrow. Moments change, and every moment brings about its illusionary change. And we want to give it a lot of credence because of the game we're learning how to play. And what is the game we're learning how to play, Ellen?
It'll be my seven of fun.
We're learning how to play the game of being myself and having fun in the now. But you see, we think that everything that's happening in the now is what we need to pay attention to. And that's not true. That's not true. Can you imagine a great painter painting and being disturbed by children playing outside, or being disturbed by music or noise that's anywhere around? Can you imagine a great painter doing that? No, not at all. Do you know why not? Because a great painter has 100% of his attention on what he's doing. 100%. He doesn't even know there's a noise in the other room. He doesn't even know someone brought his meal in and set it on the table and went out again. He doesn't even know that. He is so in tune with what he's doing. Now, you might say he's in heaven. Now, do you think he's doing his best work in there? Yes. He's doing his best work when he gives it 100% of his attention. When he does not allow himself to be dissuaded to think about other things or gives attention to other things. But we do that. We give our attention to other things, and when we do, what happens to us? Then we do very poor work in whatever we're doing. And also, if we allow ourselves to be dissuaded or moved away from what the direction we're going, we are not enjoying our heavenly state of consciousness. Just for the fun of it, what is a heavenly state of consciousness? A heavenly state of consciousness is where we have our mind one-pointedly placed on what it is that we're thinking about. Now, can you put your mind one-pointedly placed on what you're thinking about? Can you put your mind one pointedly on what you're thinking about? Now, where's my mind right now? What am I thinking about? Am I thinking about the things that dropped out of the glass, what fell on the floor, and that we're picking it up now? Am I thinking about Ingeborg helping me pick it up? Am I thinking about holding Rex's paw and keeping him harmonious and happy while he's lying by my side? What am I thinking about? Well, actually, you think I'm thinking about those things because that is the illusion. But the reality is that I'm in heaven. I am like the artist painting, untouched by what goes on around me. If the artist is at his easel painting, and his little son comes in the room, 8 years old, and the son wants to take up a brush and paint with his dad, the father is painting, and the son is slobbering on the board where the father is painting. Do you think the father sees the son doing that? Or does the father just go on totally ignoring the son, go on with what he's doing, totally unaware that the son is goofing up there and not thinking a thing about it? And when the son goes, he just looks there and he says, oh, that wasn't quite what I planned to have there. That wasn't quite what I planned to do there. And so he just takes his brush and goes over it and makes it what he wants to do. Do you think that he was disturbed by his son coming in? Do you think he even knew he was there? Do you think he loves his son? Do you think he feels highly toward his son and that he'd give his life for his son? But you see, when he's in that high state of consciousness, when he's in that one-pointed state of consciousness, when he's in heaven, there's nothing else there except that he is number one. And he doesn't say somebody else is less than number one, but he is number one. Now, if you would like to have as a daily ration, if you'd like to have the daily experience being in heaven, here's how you do it. You find something that interests you. Whatever it may be. Maybe it's just twiddling your thumbs. You know? Maybe it's playing cat's cradle. Maybe it's looking at a cloud. Maybe it's reading a book that you don't really read because you just read it and you don't know what it says. It's just a matter of having private attention. Why do a lot of people read books and after they've been reading it, they have no idea what the book is about? They have no idea. They're sincerely reading the book, but they have no idea. Because what they're doing is they're letting their, what you might call their conscious mind, be taken up by something while their subconscious awareness of their divinity is free to dwell in that heavenly state of consciousness. Now, what sort of things would you do to put you into that state? What sort of things would you do? Now, I know you might say, I can't think of a thing at the moment, but you do. When I'm talking, oftentimes you will wander afield. You will hear something I say and you put it with something that brings up something in your mind. And you'll go to thinking about it. And you're not with me anymore. You're off in your other state of consciousness, not necessarily a heavenly state, but you're off in another state of awareness. You have drifted off, and then you come back. And you come back when I'm in the middle of a comment, and you don't understand what I'm saying, so that you drift off again. Because, you know, you don't know what I'm talking about, because you weren't paying attention. And so your mind can constantly go back and forth like that. And when it does that, you are not in control of anything. You are just sort of blah blah in a dream sort of attitude. But if you really want to move into a heavenly state of consciousness, then what you do is you bore your mind. Did you ever bore your mind? You bore your mind by saying, I like me, 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 I like me. You keep saying it 100 million times. You say, oh my God, you know. Well, you keep saying it. And as you keep saying it, then pretty soon your conscious mind is going to leave all thought that it doesn't like you. Your conscious mind is going to leave all thought that it must do something about what you're doing. and you're just going to sort of mellow in. I like me, 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 I like me. If you walk the path around here and you say that, you see, what you're doing is you're taking all your conscious awareness and putting it aside. And the phrase, I like me, is a good phrase to use, but it's a phrase that you're not fighting. And because you're not fighting, then you can drift into your heavenly state of consciousness. You can drift into that mellow state of awareness where you are with aware of your divine. But when you are truly aware of your divine, you are not aware of yourself. You're not aware of your conscious self. You're not aware of your heavenly self. You're not aware of any of these things. You are just not aware. You say, well, I want to be aware. Well, if you want to be aware, then you're not in it. Because if you're in a heavenly state of consciousness, if you're in a illumined state of consciousness, you don't know anything else. Well, what is an illumined state of consciousness? What do we do while we're in an illumined state of consciousness? When you are in an illumined state of consciousness, and all of you have been there many times, when you are in an illumined state of consciousness, you feel at absolute peace. You feel relaxed. You feel untouched by anything in the world. You just feel like sort of empty and yet full. You see, you have no feeling of any need or any desire for anything. You just feel good. And you don't know that you're feeling good. You have no idea that you're feeling good. And when you return to your physical awareness again, out of this beautiful experience, you don't know where you've been, and you don't know what you've done. Why do you think it's so difficult for people to remember their dreams? Because their dreams happen in a double state of consciousness, not in a single state. In a single state of consciousness, you move out of your mind, you fall asleep, and you are fast asleep. You're in a non-dream state. You're in a bliss state. You're in that heavenly state. The first state of your sleeping is when you are in your heavenly state. And you are not aware of anything. You are not aware of anybody around you. You are just off. I am peace. And you fall asleep and you are completely blank. Then your busy old mind gets in there and says, hey, you're not doing anything. Come on, let's get busy. Let's start thinking these thoughts. Let's think about this and think about that. You had a hard day at work. Now, how would you handle it differently? Get on my back, you know. How would you handle it differently? But you see, your conscious mind objects to you being in your subconscious frame of reference, or your, some people call it the unconscious mind. And psychiatrists hate that. They think that people who enter into their subconscious frame of reference or their unconscious mind, that they are insane and that they are not logical, they're not balanced. You've got to be consciously aware of what you're doing, or else a psychiatrist will not pass you as being sane. This is what the rule is. Now, you say, my goodness sake, is that what Ugo does too? I don't think so. But is that what you do? You look for the problem? You see, if you can train yourself to go to sleep, first before you go to sleep, you say, all is in divine order. You know, my world is wonderful. Then you say, peace, peace, peace. And then, pow. And then the next thing you do is what?
Wake up.
You wake up. And it's morning. And you've had a blissful night's sleep. And you have been in the state of bliss consciousness your entire sleep. This is true. There are scientists who do studies of people in sleep. I was with a number of them who were working on this. And they went into the REM state of sleep, and they went into all the other alpha, beta, delta states of consciousness and states of sleep. And your conscious mind, whenever it can get a hold of your awareness, it makes trouble for you. When you can get out of your conscious mind, then you're doing just fine. Now, I'm not recommending my next couple of statements, but I'm going to tell them to you anyhow. When you are working with a person who is a hypnotist, and he makes you feel hypnotized. And of course, you can't be hypnotized unless you want to. And everybody basically wants to. They want to believe the unbelievable. So he hypnotizes you. And then he says to you, I'm going to give you a two post-hypnotic suggestions. One is that when I snap my finger, you will go into a deep hypnotic sleep. When I snap my finger twice, you'll wake up. Okay? So, and then he says, my second hypnotic suggestion is that you are now completely relaxed, you're completely at peace, you no longer want to smoke cigarettes, you no longer have bad habits and things like that. This is what they tell you in your hypnotic suggestion. And then you wake up. He snaps his finger twice, and you wake up. And you say, when are you going to hypnotize me, you know? And of course, it's been done. And this is true. It's done. And then he says, well, did you enjoy it? And you say, that's fine, yeah, thank you. He snaps his finger, bonk, you're gone. Now, anytime anybody comes around you and snaps your finger, you fall into a hypnotic sleep. Now, the hypnotist doesn't let that happen. He takes that out of your consciousness before you leave him, because he doesn't want you to go home and have somebody snap their fingers and you fall asleep. Or you're driving along with your car and somebody on the radio gets da 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 da, and you're out of sleep. And then they go da da, and you're awake again. Which is not really what you want to do. So, how can you get the benefit of that technique of falling asleep, that technique of going into a hypnotic trance, that technique of going into this deep inner awareness, you know, passing the consciousness? Well, much like the hypnotist does it. He says, snap the finger, you're asleep. I tell people, and this is hypnotism, I tell people the same thing. I say, lay down in your bed, say, all is peaceful, and deep breath, and let it all out, and just say, I am peace, I am peace, I am peace. Now, it may take you 10 times, and you fall asleep, but soon it'll take you 5 times, and then it'll take you 2 times, then it'll take you 1 time. You lay down and say, I am peace, moink, and morning comes. Now, doesn't that sound interesting?
Yes.
And it does work. Now, that is one way of moving into your heavenly state of consciousness. One way of getting there without having your conscious mind getting in the way and messing things up for you. Because your conscious mind is fighting you all the time. You realize that if you are in your heavenly state of consciousness, your autonomic nervous system is going to take over. And your autonomic nervous system is going to operate your body in absolute perfection. Your autonomic nervous system is not going to listen to your conscious mind. It's going to listen to itself. This has been proven in laboratory experiments. Your autonomic nervous system takes over. Now, you can change your autonomic nervous system, but not very easily. But your conscious mind wants to say, yeah, I have a cold. And your autonomic nervous system says, you're healthy as a fox, you know. Your conscious mind says, I'm limited, I don't have any money. And your autonomic nervous system says, you got everything. You got a perfectly, smoothly operating body here, and it's functioning just perfect in its divine way, you know. And you see, your conscious mind wants to get after you. Because if you don't need your conscious mind, you'll stop using it. And you start living on that other state of awareness more and more entirely. But your conscious mind doesn't want to lose you. It fights to keep you. It fights to keep you. And that's where you get your colds, and that's where you get your heartaches, that's where you get your cancer, that's where you get anything which is wrong with you. It's from your conscious mind telling your body that it has this problem so that it can be in control. Now you say, boy, that is a way out concept. Well, you read a couple of books on psychiatry and psychology. You read a couple of books on hypnosis, if you like. You read a couple of books on all these various things, and you practice it, and you'll find that it's very true. It's very true. Now, who is the conscious mind for a small child? It's parent. Its parent says, when you're older, you'll understand. You know, when you're bigger now, eat your food. Eat this stuff. You don't want it? Eat it anyhow. It's good for you. You know, you grow up big and strong. And the little person doesn't want those things because he knows that's not beneficial for him. He knows that it's only going to be something he's going to fight off later on. He only knows that he doesn't want it. His inner beingness knows what's right for him and best for him. He knows what vitamins and minerals he needs, and it's not from the outside. But his father is his what? His conscious mind. It's telling him what to do. His subconscious or his autonomic nervous system tells him exactly how to live and eat and act, and he doesn't need the conscious mind. A little child searches for things to fulfill what they need in their diet. And a little child will eat things that we would call very bad. But for him, it fulfills what he needs in his diet. And we think that's so terrible. We look at a dog eating its own feces, you know, and we think that predigested food is not good for a dog. And I went to the vet and I said, "Vet, my dog is eating his own droppings, you know, his own feces. And how do I stop it?" He said, "Well, number one, you don't have to. There's nothing wrong with it. But if you want to stop it, well, then you just say no, no, every time he picks up something. And if you don't see him picking it up, well, that's too bad. But anyhow, so now I don't like it when Rex does that. So I put him on the leash and keep him away from his pre-digested food. But it's very fascinating. They know what they want in their diet. They know what they need in their diet, and they're going to get it somehow. And we wonder at these things. My doctor, I told him about the urine miracle medicine that's called, and he says, "Never heard of it." He said, "I know it's pure, but I never heard of it, never heard of it being useful. He said, if you drink it, it can't hurt you." Now, that was an interesting statement. Very interesting statement. "If you drink it, it can't hurt you, but I've never heard of it doing anybody any good." And so I didn't go into any discussion with him because I wasn't about to turn him over into a miracle cure person, because I planted the seed. Now, if he wants to do something with it, fine. I planted a seed with Chrissy here about Manuka. And if she wants to do something about it, fine. If not, fine. It doesn't matter. I don't care. I enjoy all these little games that come along, but I'm not touched by them. I live in my own paradise at all times. And even when I seem to be upset, even when I seem to be bombastic, I'm untouched. If I were not untouched, I'd have ulcers. I'd have all sorts of problems, because then I'd be all tense and all uptight and all unhappy, and that's not worth it. Yeah, yeah. But you put those things aside about yourself and start walking that inner path. And how do you walk that inner path? You say all is in divine order, and then you lay down. And the reason you say all is in divine order is because your job is done. You have nothing more to think about today or tomorrow. And so then you say, "I am peace." And when you say, "I am peace," then your body is just, ah. And then the next thing you do, you wake up in the morning, and it's beautiful. And it works. It works. This is what professional medical, not medical, but alternate medicine doctors teach to their people. And it doesn't work at first, but it works over a period of time. But you go to your medical doctor. You go to your medical doctor and say, "Doctor, I can't sleep." He'll say, "Here, take the prescription and get a pill." And it'll knock you right out. So it knocks you right out. Well, has that overcome your circumstance of why you couldn't go to sleep? Why couldn't you go to sleep? What was wrong with your body? What was wrong with your mind? What was wrong with your thinking? You couldn't go to sleep. He hasn't solved the problem at all. All he did was just give you something to help you accomplish what you said you wanted to do. Now, we have to wake up and realize that it's time for us to be our own master, to set our own pathway for ourselves, and set our own goals for ourselves, and also enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, tell me I'm wrong. Go ahead, tell me. Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is within each one. Didn't he say that?
Yes.
And I think Moses, Muhammad said the same thing, because Muhammad said everything that Jesus said. But Muhammad said the same thing. Socrates said it. Buddha said it. Confucius said it. Lao Tse said it. Every great philosopher, every great psychologist said it. What did they say?
Heaven is within.
Peace is within you. Heaven is within you. Have you ever read Peace of Mind by Lieberwitz? Fascinating book. Very powerful book. But in it, he gets into a lot of details. But basically, he gets to the same point, that the only peace you'll ever find, the peace that passeth all understanding, is the peace that you find within yourself. So tonight, as you go to bed and think about these things, what are you going to think about?
Peace.
Peace. And how are you going to think about that peace?
All is in divine order.
Wonderful. And does it work?
Yes.
It surely does. And it works for me, and it works for you, and it works for everybody. I love you. I love you. I love you.
I love you.
I love you. I love you.